How are you all doing today? Yeah? You ready for Thanksgiving? Turkey Day! For me, it's Cornish Hen Day. All right. I'm not having a lot of people over, so I don't need a great big turkey, right? Besides, Dorothy has me. I'm the great big turkey. So place a bookmark at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's put a bookmark there. For those of you that are at home, I hope you have your book Bible. If you're using an app on your device, tonight we will be using the New King James Version. So in your app, select the New King James Version. So after you have bookmarked Psalm 103, then turn to the New Testament and find Luke chapter 17. Now, because tomorrow is Thanksgiving, I plan on us having a Thanksgiving-oriented type of message tonight. And rather than a full-blown so-called sermon, I thought I would approach this as more of a devotional. So I know ordinarily when I say I'm going to do a short service, most of you hear me say I'm going to do an hour and a half. But tonight, when I say I'm going to do a short service, I mean we're going to do a short service. So plan on being here for about an hour and 25 minutes. Now, 2020 has brought with it perhaps some of the biggest challenges that our nation has faced in the past 50 years. Just about every aspect of life has been impacted. And I'm talking about physical and mental and emotional health, jobs and the economy, travel, tourism, even dining out. Small businesses have been affected, and even big businesses. Education has been affected. Housing and being able to purchase and find basic needs and necessities. All of these things have been affected, including politics and freedom. You know, there's probably, with all of the things that have been happening this year, there's probably not even one single person that can say they have not been affected in one way or another this year. And every one of us is leading a life that's different now in some way compared to the life that we were leading prior to the COVID-19 outbreak. Even within our own fellowship, some of our own brothers and sisters in Christ have lost jobs, or lost homes, or lost loved ones. The suffering and the death and the destruction and devastation and the sheer helplessness is just unimaginable. If we were standing here in 2019, Thanksgiving Eve 2019, and someone tried to explain to you all that was going to happen, your brain couldn't even process it. And yet today, as I stand looking out at the world, I realize that I have a choice to make. Do I focus on what is unpleasant and scary and intimidating and worrisome? And if I focus on those things, do I take a pessimistic view, a fatalistic view? Or do I voluntarily shut out all of this negative and instead focus on the positives that I have in Christ? Each one of us has that same choice to make. Again, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. And I know that it can be hard this year, maybe even impossible, for some of us to find much of anything to be thankful for. With all that we've experienced so far this year, it might be harder now than ever for us to understand that all things work together for the good of those who are called by the Lord according to his purpose. But you know what? Now more than ever, we have to trust that Romans 8:28 is true. Despite what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears, we should be able to praise the Lord at all times and in all circumstances. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As Christians, giving thanks should come as naturally as breathing. Giving thanks should be our instinctive response. So tonight, let us lay aside every weight, every doubt, every fear, every anxiety, every loss, and every heartache. And tonight, let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Tonight, let's make the choice together to be thankful for the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The title of our devotion tonight is Thankful on Purpose. Thankful on Purpose. So let's begin in Luke chapter 17 at verse 11. And Father, as we open your word, I pray that you would open our hearts. I also pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes. Give us ears to hear. Take our hearts in your hand right now, Lord Jesus, and mold us into the creatures that give thanks despite all that's going on around us. Give us the ability to say thanks to you because of all that's going on around us. Lord, make us more like you. We are your children. You made us in your image, and you have given us your word, and your word is filled with promises. Help us to understand these promises and to be able to stand on them, Lord. So guide our study tonight. Help us to truly be devoted to you as we go through this devotional message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 17 will begin at verse 11. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now, before we go too far, I want to pause here right at the very beginning. And I want to let you know who the he is in this verse. The he here is Jesus. Now, what is Jesus doing in this verse? It says that Jesus passed through. It's often the case when you're reading the New Testament that Jesus is passing through. Jesus didn't stay in one place for too very long. He was a very, very busy man. He was busy about the business of his Father. If you're waiting for some other time to trust in Jesus, and you're thinking to yourself, "I'm not ready to give my life to Jesus yet. He'll come along again someday. I'll get another opportunity. The message of Christ will come to me again." You know what? If you're thinking like that and putting off believing in Jesus Christ, I can tell you that that's not a good idea. Those who persistently reject Jesus Christ run the risk of having their hearts hardened, just as Pharaoh in the Old Testament. You can't assume that you can put off trusting in Jesus today, thinking you'll have another opportunity later. Today is the day that you must believe, for there might not be another chance. If you have not yet trusted in Jesus, you must trust him now. The Bible says, while it is still called today. So don't wait. Jesus is passing through. With all of the turmoil that we are seeing on the nightly news every day, you don't know if my voice right now is the last voice you will hear sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So make your decision for Christ tonight. Verse 12, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." There's something about me, when I do a Bible study, I really can't get past one verse at a time. So we're going to pause in this verse as well. In case you're not already aware of what lepers are, lepers were people who suffered from a gruesome skin disease called leprosy. And this skin disease was also highly contagious. Now, the Bible uses leprosy as a vivid picture of spiritual defilement. It uses it as a picture of sin. Now, keep that in mind. The Bible uses leprosy as a picture of sin. Leprosy, disease of pretty much any kind, does not mean that someone is cursed, does not mean that someone is being punished by God. The Bible uses leprosy as a picture of sin. And sin is ugly. Sin is disgusting. It's loathsome. It's incurable. And it's contaminating. But sin also separates us from God and leaves us standing afar off from Him as outcasts. Leprosy is dealt with in really great detail in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. I'm not going to have you turn there. Again, I'm trying to keep our devotional short tonight. But let me just kind of run down some of the things that we are taught in Leviticus 13 and 14 about leprosy. If an Israelite suspected that he had leprosy, then he would go to a priest for inspection. And after 7 days, if the symptoms became worse, then he would be isolated for another 7 days. After 2 weeks, if the skin condition had not spread, then this person is said to be clean. But if it had become worse, then they were declared to be unclean. If they had swollen, raw flesh with white hair on the skin, then they were diagnosed with leprosy. Anyone diagnosed with leprosy was completely banished from the Israelite community altogether. So picture these 10 men that are standing afar off from Jesus. They have leprosy. The day they found out they had leprosy was the worst day in these 10 men's lives. In that day, they lost everything. They lost their homes. They lost their families. They lost their jobs, their source of income. Does any of this ring a bell to you? There are people that we know in our fellowship that these types of things have happened to. And my heart goes out for them. I pray with them. I pray for them. Now, the Bible is using lepers and leprosy as a picture of sin. I'm not saying that if you have been affected adversely in the year 2020, I'm not saying that it is the result of sin. But follow me here, because we're going to get to a few points here. These men have lost everything. One of the things about leprosy is that even the clothing that they wear has to be destroyed in the fire. Lepers also have to cover their mouths with a rag or with their hands or something like that. And as people are walking in their direction, they have to shout out, "Unclean, unclean!" Wherever they go, anytime someone is coming near them, they have to shout that out so that the other people would know to steer clear of them, because the leper is contagious. Now, these 10 lepers who stood afar off from Jesus, they would have had something like scaly, oozy abscesses and fetid open wounds all over their faces and bodies. And I'm going to spare you the gory details, because as I was researching this, you know, I'm a little squeamish, and it became a little difficult for me reading about some of the effects that leprosy can have. But all of these things were caused by bacteria that's also affecting their mouths and their internal organs. And as a result, that produced a putrid odor that invaded their nostrils day and night, let alone the nostrils of the people around them. In this condition, the lepers were a pathetic and offensive sight to the townspeople. In our natural sinful state, God sees every last one of us as lepers until we believe in Jesus. Now, the instructions that were given to the priest in Leviticus 13 and 14, it helps us to understand the nature of sin. Sin is inside of us. It's deeper than our skin. Sin is contagious, and it can spread. Sin always defiles us, and sin isolates us from God. And just like the leper's garments are only fit to be destroyed by the fire, the same thing will happen to those who die without Christ. If you die in your sin, you will be cast into the fire to burn forever. Now, the key point that I'm trying to help you understand is that sin defiles us in the sight of God. God despises sin. It's repulsive to him. It even smells bad to him. Listen to what Isaiah 3:24 says. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Sin bans us from the presence of God because, as Revelation 21 explains, God will not allow sinful man in his sight or in his presence. But through Christ, and only through Christ, we can be healed of the plague of sin that separates us from God. In order for Jesus to take away our sin, we first must recognize that we are sinners and cry out to him to forgive us and cleanse us. We have to be as disgusted by sin as God is. We have to be sickened by the stench of our own sin. We have to be brokenhearted that somehow we even gave ourselves over to sin in the first place. And we have to truly want to be done with sin. This is what preachers mean when you always hear us tell you to repent. So let's continue in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. I love these two verses. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And the next part says, "So when he saw them." In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet says, the prophet says to God, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil." Are you aware of that? God cannot look upon sin. God cannot tolerate sin. He sent his son to die, to destroy the devil's work. When Jesus died on the cross, he made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Jesus Christ, his blood poured out on that cross, making it possible for us to be forgiven. And when Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later, it was proof that the wages of your sin and mine had been fully paid by his death and by his blood that poured out. But it's only fully paid if we believe in him and if we confess that he is Lord. Now, why am I talking about all of this? In Isaiah chapter 66, God says, "I will look on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." That's why I'm fascinated that when these men cried out, Jesus saw them. Jesus knew that these 10 lepers cried out to him with sincerity. And this verse tells us that he saw them. He no longer sees the repulsiveness of sin. He no longer sees the horror of their condition. That's us when we cry out to the Lord, when we repent, when we ask the Lord with a sincere heart, "Forgive me of my sins, dear Lord. Cleanse me of all of my filthiness and my unrighteousness." When we say that to Jesus with a pure and sincere heart and ask him to forgive us, we find favor in his eyes. So again, don't put this off. Repent tonight and discover for yourself how truly merciful the Lord is. Humbly ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Are you aware that the Bible says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness? The next thing the verse says, Jesus says to them, go. So the next step after repentance is obedience. The next step after repentance is obedience. Jesus told these lepers to go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now in the Old Testament, there's another leper by the name of Naaman. And a little girl told Naaman to go and seek the prophet because Naaman was a leper. And the little girl said, go find the prophet of God. Maybe the Lord will heal you through this prophet. So Naaman journeys the long distance to go and find Elisha, the prophet. Elisha looks at him and he says, go wash in the Jordan River. Naaman didn't really like that. He was half expecting Elisha to do some kind of incantation or something, to wave something over him and to say, I pronounce you clean. But it wasn't anything like that. He simply told him, go. And for a few moments, Naaman did not obey. Someone in Naaman's traveling entourage had to convince Naaman to be obedient. And when he finally was obedient, he went and he washed, and he was clean. So through their obedience, they were cleansed. These 10 lepers, it says, as they went. Now, why is obedience what produced the result? Well, because obedience is an act of love. Jesus expressed his love to the Father by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So then how should we express our love to him? The answer is by keeping his commandments. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So read the Bible every day. Whether you're a new believer or a seasoned believer, read your Bible every day. Because in the Bible, that's where you get to find out what the promises are that Jesus has made to you. What the promises are that apply to you because you are a child of God. And also you get to find out the things that Jesus expects of you. The things that he commands for you to do. And as you're learning these things, remember to not be a hearer of God's word only, but be a doer of God's word. So when God is telling you to do something and you see that in Scripture, then don't just listen to it, but do it. We're going to circle back around to that in a little while here. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, the important thing for us to catch from this is that this person made a choice to give thanks to Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He tells us that wicked people make three very clear choices. They suppress the truth about God, even though the evidence of God is all around them in creation. They refuse to worship God, and they do not give thanks to God. Now, by contrast, the choice to give thanks to God is at the very heart of what it means for us to be Christian. We choose to embrace the truth. We choose to worship God. And guess what else? We choose to give thanks to God. We give thanks to God on purpose. So make the choice to be thankful on purpose. Again, I know it's probably a lot harder this year to find something to be thankful for. I don't have my head in the sand. I'm aware of what's going on. I get the prayer requests when you click on that button on Connect, and I pray over those. And those of you that select on there that you want to be contacted, we reach out and we contact you and we pray with you about it if you'll allow us to pray with you about it. The staff here at the church prays over the body, prays over the prayer requests. Ministry leaders pray. We all are praying and we're all giving thanks to be allowed to be part of this with you. But it's so difficult in your circumstances and in ours to find something to be thankful for in 2020. Well, fortunately, you know, the Bible is written by the Holy Spirit of God, and he gave us a list of some things that he would like us to be thankful for. So let's go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 103. Starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. No matter what your circumstances are, point your mind, your eyes, your heart to Jesus, seated at the right hand in heaven, and think about his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Do you remember a moment ago, I said, as you're reading the Word of God, to not just be a hearer only, but to be a doer? Let's do an exercise here. Close your eyes for just a moment and remember what this verse says. It says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, with your eyes closed, I want you to listen to how I say this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Thank you, God, for you forgive all my iniquities. Thank you, God, you heal all my diseases. When you take scripture and you find ways to apply it to your life personally, that's what we mean by being a doer of God's word. Did you feel the difference? A moment ago we read it and we were listening to David praise and give thanks to God. But then we personalized it. We made it real for ourselves. So let's continue through this psalm following that pattern. Verse 4. Thank you, God, you redeem my life from destruction. Thank you, God, you crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you, God, you satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Thank you, God, you made your ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of God. Thank you, God, you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Thank you, God, you will not always strive with me, nor will you keep your anger forever. Thank you, God, you have not dealt with me according to my sins, nor punished me according to my iniquities. We're being thankful on purpose. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Again, personalize that. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your mercy, God, towards me who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed my transgression from me. Thank you, God. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Thank you, God, you know my frame. You remember that I am dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Thank you, God, that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon me who fears you, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Thank you, God, that you have established your throne in heaven, and your kingdom rules over all. I don't have to fear anything that my eyes see here on earth, that my ears hear here on earth. I need not fear any of that because you, God, are in control. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who excel in his strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a starting point. If this year has been difficult for you, you've lost relatives, you've lost friends, you've lost your job, you've lost your home, look in God's word. Intentionally point yourself to Jesus, the family of faith. God, we thank